Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. We'll be talking about today the legacy of Ruth Bader Ginsburg from a biblical perspective. The legacy of Ruth Bader Ginsburg from a biblical perspective. I hope you'll join in the dialogue, the discussion. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. What are your thoughts about Ruth Bader Ginsburg as a justice, a U.S. Supreme Court justice? Did she make right rulings? Were her rulings in alignment with biblical truth? Did she help or harm the morals, ethics, and values of the United States of America and the families thereof? What are your opinions? What are your thoughts? How do you respond to the news that she passed into eternity last Friday? What are your views and thoughts on our president being able to replace her, to have an appointment in the last 42, 43 days before the election? Do you think it is the president's authority? Do you think that he has the right to do that? Should he do that? How should he make a decision? Should that decision be upheld by the Senate of the United States of America? Is there anything wrong with it being done at this late date, as some think that it is? Generally speaking, those are the things we'll be looking at today, and we invite your input. We would love to hear from you. What are your thoughts about it? I believe it is an opportunity. I believe we'll see a major shift in the view and the approach that the Supreme Court takes on issues by replacement, and the replacement being a conservative. But that's my thoughts. I want to hear from you. What are your thoughts today? That telephone number is 831-0917. Right after the monologue, we want you to jump in, have your dialogue and discussion, give your input, as some call it, put your 2 cents worth in. We'd love to hear from you. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, even a heavy issue as we're speaking on today, we do so based on the biblical authority and what the Word of God says. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that ought to take precedence in your life and in mine. It's the truth book. Jesus himself said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." That's a very dogmatic statement, but Jesus made that statement to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. And then Jesus himself said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And so it is the truth of the Word of God, and the Word of God is truth. Jesus said that in John 17:17, where Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the truth of the Word of God, for example, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ." That's a pretty strong warning from the Scripture, and the Scripture is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God that we need to adhere to. It's the truth of the Word of God that we need to stand on. And we're living in a day and an age, society, in which there is a vital need for truth. If you're waiting for truth to come out of Washington, either side of the aisle, you might be waiting a considerable period of time. If you're waiting for truth to come out of the mouth of Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, AOC, the Squad, if you're looking for truth to come out of those that are in the socialist, Marxist, BLM Democratic Party, you're going to be waiting a considerable period of time. That's part of what we'll talk about today. Is it possible? Is it possible? And perhaps you're listening and you get a little upset with it. Well, tell God, is it possible that a person can be a registered voting Democrat and simultaneously be a Christian? Is that possible? Is it possible to believe that somehow, some way, you can approve sodomite marriage, sodomite life and living, that you can approve death by way, murder by way of abortion, and still say, I trust Jesus, I believe in God, and I'm living my life as a Christian? Are those things possible, or is it simply an oxymoron to say, I'm a Christian, but I believe this, this, and this? So, ladies and gentlemen, all of that's wide open for our discussion today because it fits hand in glove with the legacy of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Truth is what we need to be seeking, and not seeking what a party says or what a position may be philosophically, ideologically, or denominationally. It's what does the Word of God say? It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're finding that visceral animus and hatred today perhaps is never before. I've never seen it in my lifetime. I've never seen the visceral attitude from either side of the aisle, as you're finding from the socialist, Marxist, communist, BLM Democrats today. And I find it absolutely antithetical to anything that would be called constitutionally looking out for we the people. And yet Nancy Pelosi says that they're considering even the potentiality of starting another impeachment hearing on President Trump if he goes forward with the appointment of another justice for the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll talk about that further in this broadcast today, but truth is what we need to seek. It was the 15th century church theologian and reformer that said this. His name was John Huss. John Huss said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that we're in the era, we're in the day and age when that is so vital that we stand on the truth. This is the reason for this broadcast each and every day, is that we stand on the truth. Some get a little ruffled with it. Some like to write love letters that tell me that it tells me that I'm crazy because I say something about the Bill Gates vaccine and I say something about socialist, Marxist, and communist. And one particular writer said that, don't we realize there's no such thing as communism? Don't we realize there's no such thing as a potential of a forced vaccination, et cetera, et cetera? Folks like that just have the head buried in the sand. In fact, based on the totality of his letter, it would go back to what God talks about in the Proverbs text of the difference between a fool and a wise person. A fool and a wise person can be understood based on their rhetoric, based on their decisions, based on the direction they take and what they say and do. And that's very, very clear, as you stated the book of Proverbs. It's the contrast and the comparison between foolishness and wisdom. And so we need God's wisdom. And the scripture is very clear that if we ask for wisdom as Christians, God's going to give us wisdom. And it's dependent upon our desire and want to have the wisdom. And God's wisdom means that he provides us with the understanding and gives us the knowledge to make decisions that please him. This is the reason it's so valid, so viable and necessary that we as believers operate on wisdom from the truth of the Word of God. So let me remind you again of Jan Hus's statement. Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment for the hurricane season. They have a staff that can answer all of your questions about lawn care and landscape equipment for the homeowner as well as for the professional. Tools for Time is located at 11291 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. A benchmark or a point of demarcation that will allow you to find it more readily. There's a gigantic flagpole 165 feet in the air with Old Glory, the United States flag, flying 24/7. Find that flagpole and the flag flowing 24/7 at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, and you'll find the home of Tools for Time at the base of that flagpole. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything any more serious than the subject that we're talking about today, because the end result of replacement of Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the Supreme Court can make a difference in the direction of our nation for the next 40 or 50 years. Now I realize, and I must be the first one to admit that, that I don't believe we'll be here 40, 50 years from now. I believe that the rapture of the church is so imminent, believe the rapture of the church is so close, believe the rapture of the church is so relevant that we need to continue to look up, lift our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. In fact, on one occasion, an individual says we need to stop looking for signs and listen for the sound. For when the trumpet sounds, I'm up, and away. I'm out of here. And so I pray that you shall be ready also. But nevertheless, if Jesus tarries, if the rapture of the church tarries, if we remain on this earth for the next 30, 40, 50 years, what takes place in the next several days in the appointment and the approval of a replacement for Ruth Bader Ginsburg will make the difference in our nation. And that difference in our nation will make the difference in our grandkids and great-great-grandkids and their children for the next several generations to come. We need to understand the weight and the seriousness of this matter. Ladies and gentlemen, the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg was announced last Friday. Ginsburg sat on the Supreme Court from 1993 till her death on Friday. She was appointed by William Jefferson Clinton, Slick Willie as they called him. She was appointed and sat on the Supreme Court for all of these years, 27 years, I believe, was the exact number. Ginsburg was perhaps the most liberal. Now, some would disagree with this. That's your prerogative. I'm not going to get into splitting hairs with whether or not she was liberal on everything or something, a part of the. She was a liberal justice. She was a liberal Supreme Court justice. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, she was perhaps the most liberal justice on the high court. In fact, recently, after the death of Ginsburg, her granddaughter, Claire Spira, said, and I quote, she said that her grandmother, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, her grandmother told her this, listen, the most fervent wish is that I will not be replaced until a new president is installed, end quote. Supposedly, Ruth Bader Ginsburg told her granddaughter that she didn't want to be replaced by, if you please, Donald J. Trump. She wanted to be replaced by the next president. She could have retired several years ago. She could have retired during the Obama years and allow him to replace her, appoint someone of his wish, but she didn't do that. She wanted to hang in there thinking that somehow, some way, I can just wait and wait it out, and that Joe Biden will be elected, and that Biden will appoint my replacement. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I find it theologically, biblically interesting and fascinating that just another 45 days, right at election time, Ruth Bader Ginsburg could have died, making it impossible for, in that brief period of time, for President Trump to do a replacement. But God is still sovereign. God is still on the throne. Now, listen very carefully. I do not sit here today at this microphone and rejoice in the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I don't do that. Or she was called RBG. I don't rejoice in that. But I am here to tell you, I rejoice in the fact that in God's sovereign timing, God has so timed it that President Donald J. Trump has an opportunity in this brief threshold of time to appoint and have approved a replacement of RBG. Now, I don't know about you, but I look at it on the basis of God's divine intervention, even in the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And let's just tie a little parenthetical footnote to that fence so that you'll understand it. Our days are numbered. In fact, our days are numbered to the point that the very time that we're born, the very time that we die, is predetermined by sovereign God. And so I believe it was God's sovereignty that made the determination that Ruth Bader Ginsburg would pass out into eternity and give President Donald J. Trump the opportunity to replace her with someone that would be a conservative justice that would honor God, honor the word of God, and that will be a benefit to the world and to the nation in particular, for the church and for faith and for future and for the family and for what God will have done in our nation today. But ladies and gentlemen, it is the death of Justice Ginsburg that just 45 days, well, it's actually about 43 days, 42 days before the November the 3rd election. And I believe it's important. Also, why is it so vital that President Trump appoint a replacement? And why is it so vital that he do so immediately? Should Christians and conservatives be concerned about who is appointed? That's my question. That's the position that I'm taking. I want to hear from you, 831-0917. Are you concerned about the appointment? Are you concerned about the vital reason that President Trump now has been given the opportunity by God that he is able to appoint and have approved through the Senate a replacement for RBG? Is it your opinion that it should be done? Do you believe that President Trump has the authority that he does not have the authority? What is your position on that? What are your thoughts in relation to that? Ladies and gentlemen, our Bill of Rights are at stake. Our Bill of Rights are at stake. Our freedom of speech is at stake. Our freedom of liberties are at stake. Our morals and ethics and values and spiritual position in our homes and our families stand in the threshold at stake today. Our family and the future freedom of America are hanging in the balance. We must recognize what I believe is God's intervention in this event. I don't believe it just happened by happenstance. I don't believe that takes place any place at any time. But ladies and gentlemen, we want to hear from you. What is your position on that? By the way, I'm pleased to have one of our sons with us today on the set. Greg Youngblood is here. Greg, as I've said before, holds his credentials in ecclesiastical jurisprudence. That means in church theology and doctrine, as well as constitutional law. And I'm always thankful to have him available, either by phone or in person. So happens that he's sitting here with me today, and I'm pleased with that. Greg, what are your thoughts about what I've said and the position that we ought to take as Christians? How should we view the legacy of Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Well, I'm just getting acclimated to this flat land, Florida. You know, coming out of the mountains, I'm used to the hills and the curves and this flat land. I'm having a hard time getting acclimated. I've just been here for 12 hours now. Nonetheless, watching the chaos, particularly on the left, ever since the notorious RBG's death. We have an interesting 60 days ahead of us, folks. We have an interesting 60 days of it. Doc, I understand you have a list of these different decisions that Ruth Bader Ginsburg made during her tenure on that Supreme Court. Now, you're going to walk through a few of those.
Yes.
But I have a question for you before you ever touch a single one of them. If Ruth Bader Ginsburg, after having experienced the last 72 hours, I guess it's been about that long.
Yes.
If she could come back right now, do you think she'd make those same decisions?
Absolutely not.
Okay. I'm just telling
you. No question about it.
Experience does not end, does not terminate when our last day on earth comes. Now, she stood before her maker. There's the reality that man that went to the other side, he wanted somebody to go back. First off, he wanted somebody to dip their finger in water and touch it to his tongue. Then he wanted Lazarus to be sent back to witness to his family members.
And what I'm telling chapter 16, verse 19
what
through 31.
What I'm telling you, folks, is her opinion today is not what her opinion was 4 days ago.
That's right.
And interestingly enough, I understand on her deathbed, she wanted to make sure that the next president replaced, you know, was the one to replace her. And I think the next president is going to be our current president. But in either case, she had all those years since when was she appointed?
1993.
Mm-hmm. See, she's had all these years. She could have picked any of the Clinton years or any of the Obama years to say, I'm going to retire and I'd like to have you pick my replacement. It was her hubris, her arrogance, and her desire to literally go have as much input as she could possibly have, leaving no room for anyone else. It was that created the scenario where Donald Trump is going to appoint her replacement.
Yes.
Lord willing.
Greg,
I believe she could have chosen differently.
Yes. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with the question or the comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, thank you for taking my call. Are you aware that OAC over the weekend made the statement that if Trump replaces her, that they, which I'm assuming that means her group, are going to burn Washington down? Have you heard that?
Yes. In fact, all of the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist Democrats have their hair on fire today, and they think it's the end of the world, and they're making every threat. We'll talk about that during the course of the broadcast, of some of the asinine threats that are being made against the nation, against our Constitution, and against the personhood of Donald J. Trump. I find it antithetical to anything that's called truth when they talk about wanting to do that which is right. And when Nancy Pelosi just yesterday on the news was standing at the podium, and she said that everything was on the table. We will do anything to protect America from Trump's appointing someone before the election. So, yes, they are going around making every threat possible.
I'm saying, aren't they threatening exactly what they've been doing already? It's like, okay, what's different? What changed?
That's right.
So you're willing to burn the nation to the ground. Essentially, again, you're happy to be as leftist, as Democrats, as socialist. You're happy to be on top of a stack of ashes so long as you're the one that's on top. They're happy to be leaders so long – it doesn't matter, you know, how destructive they are. I believe it was Reza, whatever they – call his name, Reza Aslan with CNN, that said, if they even try to replace RBG, we'll burn the entire blanking thing to the ground. And yes, you go, my goodness, the threats. We don't have enough Secret Service agents to go and interview all these folks, because quite frankly, if you make a threat and you have the ability to carry it out, that's a real threat.
That's right.
That's a real threat. This is a law enforcement matter right now. So what does the left – what has Joe Biden said about all these threats? Has
Nothing.
He come out against them
Total
yet?
Total silence.
Why is that?
Total silence.
Why is that?
He's for it. That's some of his voters.
It's his team. You don't want to ostracize your base, right?
That's right.
That's his base, or at least half of his base. For anybody that doubts that, understand that half the vote was going to Bernie Sanders.
Let me ask our caller, do you believe that President Trump has the right, the authority to appoint someone at this late hour?
I think he's gone, but by the way, I'll answer for him. Yes, sir. Absolutely. What we have watched for decades as Republicans, and many of them rhinos, as Republicans have had the power given them. People have voted to put senators in, representatives in, even presidents in. And many times my biggest complaint is they don't run with the ball. They don't run with the ball. Why is that? I mean, right now you have folks like Mitt Romney, that he's automatically willing to, you know, take a knee. Mm-hmm. Take a knee. I used the analogy the other day. This is like a football game. There's time on the clock. The score is tied. The Republicans have the ball, and the Democrats are screaming, take a knee, take a knee. They don't want any action. Now, they'll use any excuse in the world, but I'll tell you right now, if the Senate were held by the Democrats, if Obama were in the White House, we would hear one thing, and it would be just as though Obama did say this, by the way. What did he say? Elections have consequences.
That's right.
Elections have consequences. The House and the Senate are held by Republicans. Run with the ball, boys and girls. Run with the ball. Do what you've been put there to do.
Greg, I'm looking at an article here. It says, flashback. In 2016, Ginsburg said Senate should hold SCOTUS confirmation hearings even during an election year. That was in 2016. Ginsburg remarked in 2016, nothing in the Constitution precludes an 11th hour nomination by the president.
The power resides in that presidency all the way up until, you know, late January. So absolutely.
Till noon, January the 20th.
Right.
This article further says the death of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg prompted key Washington figures to change their tune on whether a high court vacancy should be filled so close to an election. And even the late jurist seems to have reversed herself on this issue. But it was in 2016 when a lame duck president, Barack Hussein Obama, tabbed Merrick Garland to replace the late conservative Justice Antonin Scalia. Democratic leaders had no problem with the move, and neither did Ginsburg. Quote Ginsburg's statement, "There's nothing in the Constitution that says the president should stop being the president even in his last year," Ginsburg said in 2016, in which she called for Garland to be received a confirmation vote in the Senate, end quote.
Each has their role. Each has their role. Obviously, they say oftentimes your best scenario is for there to be different parties holding these different positions so as to create gridlock, because in a case of gridlock, very little takes place in D.C. Now, the past few years, that's been a little not true, in that Democrats and Republicans are each willing to spend us into oblivion. I mean, you've seen the most recent banter back into, by the way, they don't know how to have the ordinary, the regular order and pass the 12 or 13 appropriations bills. Now everything is an omnibus, an all-inclusive budget agreement, and one time after another we pass these trillion-dollar bills, multi-trillion-dollar bills. In the case of this Wuhan flu stuff, the argument has been between Republicans wanting to spend $1 trillion and Nancy Pelosi and the Socialist Democrats wanting to spend $3 trillion. And Nancy says, "Hey, I'm not even coming to the table unless you guys and gals agree to spend $2 trillion." Now, keep in mind, today and in future years, they will point back and say Trump, 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 Trump whenever they talk about the spending.
Yes.
But you folks need to understand who controls the purse strings. For anybody that says that, look back in history and see who controls the purse strings. Not just – we look at the Constitution, and you'll find in Article 1 that they control the purse strings. The House, all money bills have to begin in the House. Therefore, that's where the money is spent, appropriated. And for people to say, well – Donald Trump, the president, has to sign off on it. I mean, he's an Article 2 position. He has to sign off on it. Understand this. Abortion has come into this. Planned Parenthood funding has come. They will get $600 and some odd million this year from the federal treasury in different sources. And folks are saying, look at this. The Never Trumpers that claim to be Christians. By the way, that's a very interesting dichotomy there. They'll say, well, look at it. Funding has gone through the roof for Planned Parenthood under this Republican president. What's taken place, though, is Donald Trump asked for $0. And, of course, under the Title 10 executive order he pushed through dealing with Title 10, he severed the funding that would go to agencies that provide abortions or promote abortions. And Planned Parenthood and their ire, their group, they lost their minds over that. But Nancy Pelosi and the House of Representatives shoved into the appropriations bills funding for Planned Parenthood. It makes up like 0.00003 whatever percent of the overall budget. And Never Trumpers that claim to be conservatives, that claim to be Christians, will say he should have vetoed that. Now, those same individuals that are Never Trumpers would say, look, he's an authoritarian. He thinks he's a dictator. He thinks he can control everything from the White House, and he can't. Okay. So understand the catch-22. It's kind of like the mask thing.
Mm-hmm.
Biden says we ought to listen to the professionals. Well, the professionals said several months ago we shouldn't wear masks. If Donald Trump said we ought to wear masks and we're going to require that you wear masks, those same individuals that say that he's an authoritarian, he's a fascist, he's a dictator today would have perhaps honestly said that he was if he mandated that. It's interesting that Biden's the one that has kind of the fascist tendencies.
Absolutely,
along that line.
Yet it's claiming that on the Trump administration. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the legacy of Ruth Bader Ginsburg from a biblical perspective. She has just passed into eternity. What is her legacy from the Christian, moral, ethical, biblical vantage point? We'll continue our discussion right after the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.